Been on the road again all week, only back for a couple of days before I'm off again. This is going to be my schedule for a lot of the time now, so I'd better get used to it. On the podcast this week, more of the fucking same. Well, kinda, because I finally got a letter from a listener. Woohoo! It's My Unconventional Life. Repost. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach. And not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? Last week was a bit of a downer, eh? Look, is being monogamous really taking away some of the joy and excitement of being a potential parent? I don't know, if I'm honest. And that's the whole point of this, right? This podcast is called My Unconventional Life, but really, how unconventional is it anymore? I was back on the road all week. The nature of this being taped many days before it posts meant that I had taped it days before the awful mass shooting in Vegas that, to be honest, really upset me and made everything I was worrying about seem largely insignificant, in that moment at least. And normally I refuse to watch any of that coverage on TV or read about it online because I sometimes feel like the way the media covers it almost encourages that sort of stuff because it propagates this notion of fame and immortality to whoever does this sort of stuff. I don't know, I read more of my friend's book, A Field Guide to Losing Your Friends, this week, and ironically was also inspired by a terrorist act when his friend was killed when a bomb exploded near him. Another story that really touched me was the absolutely wonderful story about Cambodian John Bond. The tale of the eccentric janitor made me cry on the plane when I was reading it, and I really hope my friend turns it into a short film as we discussed. So anyway, it wasn't the fertility drugs. I'm just a very emotional person any time of the year. TylerDunning.com, TylerDunning.com, to get a copy of the short book. Had a lot more thoughts about my relationship with Eri this week. I know, I spend most of my time thinking about it, and don't worry, it'll be relatively brief. So I once read a book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie, the same guy who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, I have more interest in the first book, of course, and one thing that came back to me this week was how when you're worrying about something, you can just imagine the worst case scenario of how it might work out and then say, if this happens, how will I deal with it? And will it be the end of the world? With Eri and I, it would be Eri never being okay with me being with anyone else, and when I can't be in a monogamous relationship anymore, freaking out and denying me access to the kids. Well, kind of didn't help. But I guess even then, we'd work it out. Plus, I don't think she'd ever really do that. I actually hung out with an old friend today who has a young daughter. She's a single mum. And talked about how devastated she was when she made the decision to divorce her husband because she knew she wasn't in love with him anymore. She said she never wanted to be a single mum because she had a single mum and never wanted to repeat that. But after a while, when she let go of the guilt, she discovered it was the right choice, even if sometimes her daughter still doesn't understand it. Things will work out in the end. And I was reminded of something Eri had told me too, that we can perhaps teach our kids as much by the things we don't agree on as the ones that we do. So I have to have faith that we'll figure it out and raise our kids as well as possible. I think once the kid is born, anyway, my attitude will change and become very focused on the kid and less on the nature of my relationship with Eri. But we'll see. I'm still intimate with Eri. Well, when she's not in another country at least. And if I don't say it, I really do love her and I'm glad to be having a child together. She's been having a lot of the issues you'd expect with a pregnant woman, but I try to alleviate her fears. I've been taking those nootropics for a while now, and it really seems to have helped with my libido. No comedy cock at all anymore, which is quite a shock. And some people might say, well, it's because you're in a monogamous relationship now. But I really think it's the nootropics. I've been wrong before, though. Got in some heat this week when I posted a pic on Instagram of the ultrasound of our baby. I honestly didn't think there was anything wrong with it. In fact, I thought Eri might be excited that I'd shared the news with the world, but I guess she was a little hurt that I didn't tag her on it or mention her, but also because I didn't ask her permission. I honestly didn't think it would be an issue. After we got the picture of the ultrasound, she said she was going to post it on Facebook. But I've always been a little cautious about posting pics of my significant others on public forums anyway. I kind of like that sense of privacy and didn't think the ultrasound was an invasion of that. And it was late at night and I was exhausted. It just didn't cross my mind. But after thinking about it, I could see why she might be upset, feeling that I hadn't included her on it or made sure that she was okay with it. I don't know. There's going to be breakdowns in communication like this. My friend also told me tonight about a poly couple she knew, the husband from which she'd met 20 years prior when he was a devout Christian virgin in his early 20s. And she told me how she and he had reconnected many years later through Facebook, and she'd actually met him and his wife and found out after he'd hit on her that they'd opened up their relationship the year before and that his wife was perfectly okay with it. That they'd both read a lot of books on the subject and made agreements and even written a contract too. But what they found out was that they were constantly having to renegotiate that contract as feelings and experiences came up. So I guess it gave me hope that I hadn't strayed so far from a rectifiable situation with Eri. After posting the pic and seeing how many people contacted me to say congratulations, I realised a couple of things. First of all, how many great, loving friends I have. And second of all, how few of them listen to this podcast. But I guess that's what happens when you don't publicise it on social media every week. And that's okay. This is really just for you people who make the effort to find it every week. One of whom, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, wrote me my first listener letter this week. Hey! Which is fantastic. Now, I won't read it out in its entirety, but it was concerning the notion of infatuation. It was written by a young man in his early 20s, talking about how he struggled with depression for so much of his adolescence until he saw this girl in wrestling and decided he was in love with her, and she was the only one for him. I think anyone listening can think of an example when they felt this way. In this instance, the sightings seemed to get the young man out of his depression and encourage him to get focused and pursue his dream to become a wrestler and eventually meet this girl of his dreams. He also seemed to hold out some hope, however, that they'd end up together romantically, which is a little premature at this stage of the game. Even if it's probably only natural at that age. I'd say, let just the fact that she's inspired a positive change and belief in you be enough. It's funny because for me, when I was that age, that person was WWE's Sunny. I mean, I was absolutely mesmerized by her. Moved something primal in my adolescent soul. So when I met her well over a decade later, it was almost like meeting Marilyn Monroe. I think I talked about infatuation before, from when I'd read about it in Anatomy of Love, as the first in the infinitely repeated three steps of human love. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, in and of itself, other than the notion that it will last forever, or should last forever. I mean, that's the thing about being that age, isn't it? You feel things so strongly that you're certain they're going to last forever. There was a girl I met at university that I felt that way about. And to be honest, I've yet to meet anyone else who comes close to how she made me feel. But I don't harbour any idea of ever being with her. And I couldn't be happier to see her happily married with kids now. So, nothing to worry about, my friend. Use the inspiration in and of itself. Be happy that you saw her and the positive effect that it had on you. And realize, I promise, that even if you never meet anyone else who makes you feel the same way, just to have known her will be enough if you truly love her. But what the fuck do I know? Eri is back from Japan next week. She's been feeling pretty tired most of the time recently since I left, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again and helping her out with her burgeoning baby bump. I will see you next week. That's another week gone. What have I learned? And what peace have I found? Cheers for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Drop me a line at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully some joy. But until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, try to be kind to others, but as much to yourself. We're all fighting our own battle. Lead with love.